Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Analyst Investor Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Friday, the 22nd of August, 2014. Now I would like to hand over the conference to your first speaker today, Ms. Thijs Donker. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much. I'm just here to present the three gentlemen who are going to host the call. I'm going to hand over to Gerrit Zalm, our chairman.
Good afternoon. I'm joined by Kees van Dijkhuizen, our CFO, and Wietse Reehoorn, our CRO, and we'll talk a bit about the results of the first quarter and the first half year. All in all, I'm satisfied with the results of the second quarter. The underlying net profit is 322 million. That's an increase of 47% compared to the same quarter last year, and that shows the result of the initial recovery of the Dutch economy. The Dutch GDP started to grow again in the middle of last year. We had a dip in the first quarter caused by natural gas production, which was low, and high car sales in the last quarter of 2013. The second quarter, GDP grew again by 0.5%. For the full year, we expect also 0.5% growth, and that is expected to increase to 1.5% next year. There are quite a few indicators as consumer confidence, the housing market, which are showing an overall improvement in the past year. Sometimes a bit bumpy, but improvement is the tendency. Of course, this economic recovery, which is underway, does not immediately lead to lower non-performing loans and lower impairments, although we have seen impairments going down compared to a year ago, but the level is still high. Of course, if you look into the future, geopolitical developments could hamper the present positive developments we see in the Dutch economy. If you look at our targets we have set for 2017, I think we can state that we made good progress. Looking at the cost-income ratio for the first half year of 2014, it was at 59% compared to 61% a year ago. Of course, there are still the bank tax to come in the second half of the year, and if you correct for that, we are a bit over 60, but we are near to our range we have set. That's a range between 56% and 60% in 2017. We are engaged in upgrading our IT systems this year and in the coming years. We already made some investments, which is included in the 2014 numbers, and these investments aim to reduce this cost-income ratio further in the longer term. In the meantime, of course, we will get a grip on the cost and continue to become more efficient so that we make sure that we end up in the range we expected for 2017. At the same time, we know that we will get additional regulatory costs, especially the Deposit Guarantee Scheme and the European Resolution Fund will have extra costs next year, from next year on. Looking at the return on equity for the first half of 2014, return on equity was about 10% compared to 7.5% for the same period a year ago. We made progress there too. Also here, we should keep in mind that we get this bank tax in the second half of the year. If you would correct for that, the figure would have been 9.5%. If you look at the four-quarter tendency, we are not yet in the range of 9%-12%, but we are moving up. Looking at the first half of this year and compare that with 2013, both the cost-income ratio and the return on equity are a few percentage points better. The third financial target we have set is a core equity ratio of 11.5%-12.5% in 2017. We already have met that goal because our core equity ratio we published today is at 12.7% on a fully loaded basis. What is also worth mentioning is that in the second quarter, we announced the outcome of our strategic review for markets. We announced it in June. We'll bring more focus in our product offering. We announced to stop with equity derivatives, and we are in the process of winding this down. Markets in Asia would become too small, and that will also be closed this year. And that decision will reduce the capital tied up in markets, and of course, it will also reduce headcount. Now I give the floor to Kees.
Thank you very much, Gerard. Before continuing, we forgot to mention that we use, as always, our short results presentation published on our website this morning. And there, of course, will also be a full version of this presentation, which will be published later today. On slide 7 of that presentation, you see an overview of the results. Well, looking at these results more in detail on slide 8, you can see that net interest income is showing clear upper trend for already 10 quarters. Both saving volumes and margins have increased. Our total market share and deposits of 24% in the Netherlands did not change. We raised an extra 1.7 billion savings in the first half of this year. And because we kept more or less the loan book stable, loan to deposit ratio continued to decrease in the first half of the year from 121 to 119. Also, the margins on the loan book increased, and new mortgage production and refinancings continued to contribute to the average spread of the book. Mortgage loan book declined slightly since year end, around half a billion. Rate of decline is much lower than last year. Extra repayments have slowed down compared to a year ago. We increased our market share in the new mortgage production from 17% in the second half of last year to 20% in the first half of this year. Margins on commercial loans also increased, although to a lesser extent. We expect the repricing effect to continue on the loan book of commercial banking. If we look at commercial lending, we see a small increase in the since year-end 2013 of around half a billion. Demand for SME loans is still declining. But in the corporate client sector, which has a turnover of between 30 million and 500 million, we see some growth. And ECT loan book continues to grow. If we go to slide 9, fee income, that has been stable for some time now. Switch of an all-in fee model in the Netherlands. Retrocession fees are not allowed anymore as per this year. That has not had a significant negative impact on fees in retail and private banking. Other operating income declined, largely caused by lower CVA-DVA, approximately 45 million lower year-on-year. Lower private equity valuation, also approximately around 15 million year on year. Then if we continue to slide 10, expenses. These were up 2% on annual basis, primarily caused by restructuring charges and also AQR cost. AQR costs were around 10 million in Q2 and also around 10 million in Q1. Without taking into account also internal staff being very busy with that, of course. What we see is that cost savings from lower staffing levels are offset by annual wage inflation and higher cost for temporary staff, for instance, for the AQR. If we compare the first half of 2014 with the first half of 2013, we see operating income increasing by 5% and operating expenses increasing by 1%, and that is the reason why cost-income ratio, of course, declines from 61 to 59. Wietse will cover impairments, so I will jump to slide 12, showing the net result of each of the segments. We see a net profit increase for retail banking, and that's predominantly driven by lower mortgage impairments. Decline in private banking is due to a one-off low tax expense in Q2 2013. Commercial banking from a clear negative result last year to a positive result this year as a result of lower impairments and further improved operating efficiency. I'd like to make a remark here as well, mentioned I think before, but commercial banking, if you look at the cost income ratio of commercial banking, at the end of 2011, that was 68%, now it is 50%. So we have made a lot of progress there in operating efficiency at the commercial bank. Merchant banking's performance was impacted by poor results in markets, CVA changes, and lower valuation of private equity, as mentioned before. And the improvement in the result of group functions is partly due to higher allocation of costs to the business. These costs are centrally made costs for instance, for IT, for risk, compliance, but also costs of liquidity buffer, and we try to allocate as much as possible to the business. We did not allocate the 20 million I mentioned on the AQR costs. They were not budgeted either. And if you look at the first half of 2014 and compare it to the first half of 2013, you will see that the result of group functions, which was minus 134 million in the first half of 2013, declined to 8 million in the first half of 2014. So we actually managed quite well with reallocating costs from the center to the business. And that, of course, also means that the improvements in the business you see also include this further allocation of costs from group functions. Wietse, I would like to hand over to you now.
Okay, thank you. As mentioned in the start of the call by Gerrit, there are signs of an economic recovery. However, it may take some time before this will be reflected in structurally lower loan impairments. In the first half of this year, the inflow in our financial restructuring and recovery department was lower compared to the second half of last year. Even though inflow has been volatile, the decline in inflow is mainly visible in business banking, our SME book. Almost 70% of the clients in financial restructuring and recovery are clients to which credit was granted longer than 5 years ago. These clients were predominantly active in real estate, industrial transportation, horticulture, retail, and construction materials. The impairments taken are based on new files transferred to FRNR as well as on existing files, as for some clients the outlook has deteriorated. I would like to go back for a moment to slide 11. And on the left-hand side, actually I think it's the first time in our analyst presentation here, we show a 12-month moving average of impairments. Seasonality effects are eliminated this way, and as can be seen from this chart, for the first time since 2011, we do see a decline of impairments. The chart on the right side shows the impairments by products. Two comments I would like to make here. On mortgages, the impairments this quarter are approximately half of what we have seen in the previous six quarters. I'll go into the detail a little bit more later. And secondly, we see that in commercial loans, especially in business banking SME, loan impairments are decreasing. Moving to slide 13. This slide shows the impaired ratio has started to stabilize for most products, and in absolute terms, the level of impaired consumer loans, which is mortgages and other consumer loans, that was stable, whereas the impaired commercial loan slightly rose by approximately 150 million. If we then go to slide 14, which is on the mortgage loans, we see a similar trend in past due and impaired mortgage exposure. Both indicators were stable from Q4 last year to both Q1 and Q2 of this year. And in line with positive developments in the Dutch housing market, the quarterly impairments decreased for the first time in about 18 months to 11 basis points this quarter. I'm talking about the burn rate, of course. This is low compared to the previous quarter, which was at 28, and the full year 2013, which was on 24 basis points. Impairments for mortgages are calculated on a portfolio model-based approach. In Q2, the impairment rate stabilized, hence gross impairments were almost unchanged at the level of 127 million. However, in Q2, part of the impaired portfolio returned to performing and actual credit losses were lowered than provisioned for. Hence, we could reverse some of the impairments previously taken for these clients, explaining the decrease in total impairments for mortgages being 42 million for this quarter. It's however too early to say that this improvement will be a trend for the remainder of this year. The average loan-to-market value of the markets portfolio was 85%, slightly up since year-end 2013 and Q1 2014. 23% of our portfolio has a loan-to-market value of higher than 100%. This percentage is stable compared to previous quarters. The part of the portfolio that has a full 100% interest-only mortgage and a loan-to-market value of over 100% was only 1.6% of our portfolio. A word of caution from my position. Recent developments in Russia and the Ukraine could hamper the recovery in the Netherlands. Our exposures to these regions are limited. The Russian exposure is under 1 billion, and the exposure to Ukraine is negligible. The exposures we have as to Russian risk are of a medium and short-term nature, primarily collateralized commodity transactions which are intensively monitored. It's too early to say what the potential impact would be. The Dutch economy is an open one, depending on exports, and we're strongly related to the performance of the Dutch economy. Gerrit, over to you for some final remarks.
Okay, thank you. All in all, we are satisfied about the second quarter development. Of course, we have to be cautious for the rest of the year, but we see positive developments in the Dutch economy, especially in the housing markets. But geopolitical developments can hamper these positive developments, of course. We expect our total impairments for 2014 to be below those of 2013 on an underlying basis. And that is what we dare to say. For the rest, we'll have to wait and see. We are on track to meet our strategic targets and ambitions for 2017. And maybe one word about the IPO. Everybody's very interested in that subject. We are preparing and we are working on it, but it will be up to the Minister of Finance to make the ultimate decision whether he wants to go and when he wants to go. But from our part, we work on it so that if he wants to make a positive decision at some stage, that we are ready for that. Lastly, a word on the new ECB facility TLTRO. The targeted longer-term refinancing operation. We are looking seriously at that to participate because it is focused on creating an atmosphere of helping SMEs and private persons. We will, and that is in the interest also of our clients. So we will be supportive on this issue. Operator, can you open the call for questions?
Of course, thank you very much. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you would like to cancel your question, please press the hash key. So once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. And the first question comes from the line of Benoît Pétrarque from Kepler. Please ask your question.
Yes, good afternoon. It's Benoît Pétrarque from Kepler Cheuvreux. A couple of questions on my side. I will start with the merchant bank. You have been restructuring quite a lot in the past quarters and basically stopped some operation in structured products and equity derivatives, so you probably miss income there. On the other side, I see costs still relatively high. So I was wondering if you could guide us a little bit more on how much kind of cost-cutting you are expecting on the merchant bank for, say, the next 12 months, simply because the cost base will probably shrink following the downsizing of the merchant bank activities. That's the number one. Question number one. Number two will be on asset quality. We have seen a pipeline of past due not impaired on the commercial bank coming down significantly in Q2, actually going down from 3.4% to 2.8%. So could you talk a little bit more about this trend? And do you expect this to kind of continue into the third quarter and potentially 2015? Could you just give a bit of feeling about what you see on the on the restructuring and problematic loans pipeline, basically for the coming quarters. Number three will be on the savings rate. It seems that all the banks are kind of now hurting the 1.2% level. Do you think you can go lower? And could you give us a little bit of feeling also on where you could go on that one?
Benoit, can we keep it at three questions for now?
Yes, okay, yeah.
Okay, sorry to interrupt you.
Okay, let me take the first one. Of course, if we stop with equity derivatives, that will lead to a reduction of staff. It will start with a provision for that. So that it will be a cost increase to start with. It will also lead to lower indirect costs because we can put out the machinery and the whole risk and finance chain. That will take some time, these indirect costs, because we still have to keep our machinery operational for let's say a year, 1.5 years. I think at a later stage we can be a bit more explicit about the cost saving part of this downsizing operation, but it's certainly the cost base will have to be brought down because of we stop with equity derivatives. For the impairments, I give the word to Witse.
Thanks, Gerrit. Yes, indeed, the past due figures on the commercial loan book has improved somewhat. Essentially, if you look into that, especially the bucket toward 30 days has decreased. However, the bucket more than 90 has increased somewhat. More or less, the trend indeed is a stabilizing, decreasing impairment rate as well as in past due rates. Looking forward, what we mainly see in the business banking segment, SME, we saw some lower inflow in our financial restructuring recovery department. It's difficult to depict a trend from that. We do expect actually that if the recovery picks on, that also the recovery in the SME segment will be there. But to me, it's a little bit too early to be so positive in that respect. And nevertheless, if we now see the level of impairments over the last two quarters, I do expect that for the whole year, this will be lower than what we have been making last year in respect of impairments.
Kees, probably for you the last question.
Yeah, thank you, Wietse. Loan to deposit. I think what we've seen now in the last, 14 quarters, we have been able to lower the loan-to-deposit ratio by around 15 percentage points, from 135 to 120, 119. We do not have an external target on this, but as you can see, also this year we have lowered it with another 2%. That if market conditions are there, that we will of course try to continue. But as said, we don't have a clear target on that externally.
And you also asked about the savings rates.
Yes.
There's a natural natural border for the savings rates, and that's zero. We are not yet there, but we'll look at market circumstances. It is already quite low, so we don't have the idea that we will get much lower, but I think comparatively in the Netherlands savings rates are still higher than around us, so there is maybe some room for even a lower saving rate than there are now.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. And the next question comes from the line of Matthias Dewitt from KBC Securities. Please ask your question.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my questions. First, on your ROE objective, you're today already at the mid-range of your 9-12% 2017 target, despite provisions that are significantly higher than normalized levels. So, just wonder why you don't seem to expect further improvement from the current levels, despite the anticipated normalization of loan loss provisions. Second question is on the merchant bank. Just to follow up on Benoit's question a bit, Could you provide an indication of the post-restructuring earnings power of that business, maybe in terms of normalized ROE? Historically, it has always been quite low, but just wonder whether you see an improvement and to what level. And related to that, could you provide an indication of how much capital is tied up in that non-core merchant bank segment? And the timing of its release would also be helpful. Thank you.
Let me start with return on equity. This 9.5% or whatever, this is what we have now in the picture. We know that for next year we will be confronted with extra regulatory cost. The deposit guarantee scheme will come into play, and also there will be the European restructuring fund, which we have to contribute to. So that is certainly something which will play negatively next year. At the same time, we are not yet at the upper band of the range we have targeted. So, of course, we set 9 to 12, but 12 is dearer to our heart than 9.
Okay.
Shall I make a comment on the your I think your last question is what would be the anticipated capital release in terms of the changes within markets? It predominantly deals there with the winding down of the full equity derivatives business. We expect approx between 2 to 4 billion release there of risk weighted assets.
And what could be the future earnings power of this segment and a normalized ROE of this business over time, please?
At this moment, that is a little bit too early to say, as you all weigh and essentially in this situation should take into account all those additional regulatory capital weights which have been imposed towards certain parts of that business. So this will not be a return which we have seen, let's say, before the financial crisis period, and a return which probably year on year will be tried to improve as good as possible.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. That's star 1 to ask a question. And the next question comes from the line of Albert Plou. Please ask your question.
Yes, good afternoon all. Yeah, a question from my side basically on the in relation already to the upcoming stress test. I saw that the Association of Dutch Banks have issued basically a quite large memo to explain the differences on the working of the Dutch mortgage market in the European context. Yes, you might be aware there's some discussion about potentially make some harmonization of risk weights on mortgages. So how do you look at that? And yeah, is that really a concern if that would indeed harmonize, and how might that might impact your the model going forward? And the second question is on the merchant banking. Basically a follow-up question, I think, on the first question being asked. You clearly already took some measures on the derivatives, and I appreciate you were going to say something later on the potential cost savings update there. But is this really enough to get the ROE closer to, let's say, at least the cost of capital in this unit, as there's still around 37 billion risk rates tied up, consuming quite some capital? Some thoughts on that would be appreciated. Thank you.
Okay, let me start with mortgages and risk weights. We don't have any indication from the supervisor in this respect that, in the contrary, we just got clearance on the model we use for risk weighting on mortgages. So we think it's a sound model. So we don't have any negative expectations in that respect. As far as markets and the cost of capital, markets has also utility functions for our clients. Cost of capital will decrease, at least the RWA will decrease if we have the advanced modeling approach agreed by the central bank, so that will be helping us a bit. But we accept that for the coming years, returns there will be lower than average for the bank, because it's also creating utility functions for our clients, and we have to be able to offer also this product to our clients. So we accept that return on equity there will be on will be lower than the average for the bank.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. And the next question comes from the line of Benoit Petrucco. Please ask your question.
Hello, it's Benoit Petrucco. Just a follow-up question on basically the capital ratio, which is 12.7% on a fully loaded basis. It's higher than your range. So what will be the strategy going forward on distributing the excess capital? I mean, are you still in a mood of accumulating capital, or are you kind of ready to pay cash to the shareholders? And linked to that, I mean, what could be a dividend policy, kind of sustainable dividend policy for ABN AMRO going forward? Are we kind of close to 60% or below that? On asset quality review, so just to conclude following Albert's questions, I mean, are you confident that there will be no major surprise on the asset quality review in 2 months' time, or are you still kind of cautious maybe on Dutch mortgages? Any thoughts on that? Thanks.
Okay, let me start with the capital ratio. We do have a luxury problem there, but that's better than other problems. We will, up till now, we have stated that we will grow our payout ratio to 40%. Of course, we'll have to look at this again when we make the prospectus for the IPO. So maybe we will have some extra news when we are making our equity story. But for up till now, having a good capital buffer, because we still are awaiting the asset quality review results, is a luxury we cherish. AQR, Pieter?
Sure. AQR. I think we are well prepared there. We're finalizing the stress test for submission to the ECB. Nothing to be said at this moment about the outcome, because we, of course, don't know. We can say a couple of things about our assumptions here. As you know, we have been undergoing a commercial real estate AQR last year with the Dutch Central Bank. This bank came out very positively there, no additional provisions and no capital add-ons necessary from the perspective of the Dutch Central Bank. Our capital position is quite strong. We're very prudently provisioned for. So up till now, no signs at all that ABN AMRO should not be worried. So we are rather confident about the outcome, but as said again, we will await the outcome, as we cannot speculate about this, and we will not.
Great, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. The next question comes from the line of Matthias Dewitt. Please ask your question.
Yes, a few follow-up questions, please. Just on the net interest margins for mortgages, could you provide a bit more color on the difference between the margin realized on the new production compared to the back book of pre-crisis low-margin mortgages? And then related to that, is there any comment you could make about the outlook for net interest margins for the coming quarters? And maybe also for a bit the longer-term outlook, considering that interest rates are low, and maybe you can share some words on how you look at it. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, thank you very much. I think indeed that we have higher margins on mortgages, on new mortgages compared to the total book. I think what we see is, as mentioned also before, that because in the Netherlands mortgages often are taken for 10 years and also 5 years, longer periods, that we see repricings which are still higher and better margins than especially before crisis. which even were sometimes negative with hindsight. So the book is still improving. We make around a margin above 1% at the moment, 1 to 25. It's lower than it was before, say 1 year ago, but still above the average margin on the book. With respect to going forward, the NIM. I think we don't have a target there. Excuse me for misunderstanding the earlier questions on the savings rates. I thought it was about loan to deposits, but the NIM we don't have a target either externally. But as you can see on the interest line, that we have improved it going forward. But that of course depends very much if economy is going to grow again and we can grow also nationally our book. And of course it depends on competition and margins in the Dutch economy, which are not easy to forecast, but I think we are happy with at the moment the high amount of net interest income, like fee income, mm-hmm. which is both recurring and stable and growing, but as said, going forward we don't have a real target there, but you can imagine that we would like to grow it.
Yeah, and just to follow up on that, on the savings rate and the savings margins, is there really an ability to significantly further cut deposit rates, considering that the bulk of deposit remuneration will be taxed away at one point in time, rendering such deposit products useless to some clients? Maybe could you comment on that, please?
That is, of course, it's a fair question, I think, because that is, of course, what we've seen in the last 2 years, actually, that people use their savings for lower their mortgages. However, we have been able to increase volumes also outside the Netherlands, Germany and Belgium, at interesting spreads. So I think there are still possibilities there, and as Gerard already mentioned, it's always a difficult territory, and there are always those levels like 1%, which are difficult to pass. But as we've seen, ECB was able to pass the zero. So who knows what we
negative
even negative. So yeah, in the down, yeah. So I mean, there you have to pay now. So I mean, we don't know. It depends on the environment for the next period. Inflation is very low as well. So people understand that is also related with each other. So I don't know. I'm not going to say that's not possible to lower rates going forward.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. And the next question comes from the line of David Locke. Please ask your question.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for taking the question. Just three from me. First one's on costs. I note that in retail banking, it says in the release that you took a provision for litigation. I just wondered if you could give a bit of color on what exactly that was for and what we should expect perhaps going forward on that. Apologies if I missed it in the earlier part of the presentation. Secondly, on you say in the release as well that some of the higher costs came from modernization of core IT systems and the improvement of processes. Again, I'm just wondering if you give a bit of color on how your IT your IT changes are being affected, what stage of the process you're in, how we should see that kind of flowing through in the coming years. And then finally, the final question is really around the AQR, and I appreciate you, along with a lot of other banks, are very, very cautious around giving any kind of indication of how you feel you will fare in it, and I completely understand that. But I just wondered if you could give any kind of color on whether it's affecting, the decisions you're making as a business today around where you're going to allocate resources, your attitude to writing new credit at the moment, and whether that's something that, potentially clearly could change once the AQR is out of the way. Thank you.
Shall I pick the last question as to the inquiry? I think the answer is quite simple there, that at this moment we do not change any decision actually as to credit risk or capital allocation as a result of a AQR. in this answer, actually, I'm giving some of what I would like to say, some confidence we have actually in the AQR. So there's no, let's say, change, increasement in provisions as a result of the AQR, neither in capital allocation whatsoever.
I didn't mean so much on the provisioning side. I meant more in terms of your attitude to writing new business. Are you perhaps, you know, as is, you know, there's a lot of people in the market who are perhaps seeing the AQR as a kind of watershed moment for when suddenly there'll be provision of credit into Europe. But from your comments, it would seem like actually you're already trying to lend, or, you know, it's not affecting your decision around taking on more risk and more credit.
That is correct. That is correct, as long as, of course, as it fits our moderate risk profile, actually the whole strategic profile of this bank, but that's correct. We are not making any changes to that policy at this moment.
Thank you.
Okay, maybe about IT changes. That will take a couple of years, so it will be a multi-year program, which doesn't mean that we have to wait for a lot of years before something is improving, so we are doing that in a gradual way. But this will certainly take a couple of years before the whole internal IT framework has been improved, which will also make it more flexible and easier to cope with changing regulation, which is important because we think changing regulation will be there for quite some years. As far as the legislation you mentioned, it was not in this quarter, but in the same quarter last year. So. This is just, this was in 2013.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you very much. And once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. That's star 1 to ask a question. It appears we have no questions at this time. Please continue.
Okay. Then thank you very much for attending our conference call, and we'll be back in 3 months' time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.